Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. Tonight, we're going to feature defending religious liberty, because that is what is under assault all across the country and especially here in Ohio in recent days. We're going to give you an update from the Ohio State House and the Pastors Protection Act, legislation that would protect pastors, churches, church organizations, church property, and it's House Bill 286, and we're going to have some guests in. In fact, we're going to have pastors that will join a roundtable discussion later this hour, but also joining me in studio is Pastor Al Davis, who has his own program here on the Salem Network. And Pastor Al, glad for you to be with me tonight.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's a real privilege to be with you, and I thank you for the invitation.
Well, we're talking about a very serious issue, Pastor. You and I have talked about it on your program as well, and your Friday program, and this is so important because, folks, we really are seeing the unraveling of the First Amendment and religious liberty right in front of our eyes. Now, at the Ohio State House last Wednesday, many of you know that the Ohio Christian Alliance, along with other groups, organized a press conference and lobby day. We had over 50 members of the clergy that came to the Ohio State House to meet with members to talk about House Bill 286, the Pastors Protection Act. This is a bill that was introduced by State Representative Nino Vitelli, and Representative Vitelli has been exemplary in his presentation of this legislation and aiding it through the process. We're very thankful for his leadership on this. There are 24 co-sponsors that signed on to the bill. It was in the Family Advancement Committee, chaired by Chairman Tim Dickerson. He now allowed for the bill to have up to three hearings, both proponent, proponent and opponent. Over three dozen members of the clergy came to the Ohio State House and gave testimony in support of the bill, and they were from a variety of denominational backgrounds. There were Lutherans, there were Methodists, there were Baptists and Independent, there was even the Catholic Diocese of Cincinnati, which is very unusual for the Catholic Church to weigh in on something like this. A Catholic priest from another order came, and he spoke on behalf of the legislation. Even a Jewish rabbi had come in and gave in testimony. So the committee was very impressed with a variety of testimony that came in support of the legislation. Only four opponents came in to testify against it, and all they could basically say, Pastor, was that it wasn't needed.
Right, and you know, I had the privilege to be able to be down there with you, and it was a great experience. It was an eye-opening experience to actually meet with some of the representatives and to hear their take on this bill as to why they thought it may or may not be needed.
Well, that's right, and you were there with us during the proponent testimony. Of course, you were there again last Wednesday. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, because things are really heating up down there at the Ohio State House, and there's drama being played out behind the scenes. Now, you have to ask yourself a question. Now, the Republicans hold a 65-seat majority in the Ohio House. All you need is 51 votes to pass any legislation. They have 65 seats, and Speaker Rosenberger is the Speaker of the Ohio House. We have attempted to meet with him on numerous occasions, and he has not taken our invitation in over a year and a half. Now, given my position as president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, in the 15 years I've been doing this work, I've met with every speaker up until this speaker. Mm. I've spent more time, Pastor, trying to meet with him by going through his scheduler and or through his office to get a meeting with him, yet to no avail. Even friends who were part of leadership said, "Don't worry, I'll get you in." They came back and said, "Look, I don't know what's going on, but for some reason he doesn't want to meet with you." Well, it's not me personally. It's not a personal issue. It's what we stand for. And for whatever reason, the speaker did not want to sit down and talk to us about this very important issue of religious liberty and protecting pastors, churches, and church property. Now, the governor has said repeatedly out on the presidential campaign trail that we have to protect our pastors and churches. And now, he said that we don't need a bathroom bill in a state like North Carolina. He said that. He also said, you know, we're not going to give you a RFRA law, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, but we should protect our pastors and churches. Well, here's the perfect opportunity for that, yet the governor's office stays silent since our press conference and lobby day. But Pastor, we're going to go to an audio clip now, because here is five different individuals who faced persecution. One was a baker. One was a military Air Force officer. Another one was a printer. Another one was a fire chief in Atlanta. Another one was a florist. All of these people were sued by homosexuals because they said their rights were being violated, yet these people suffered financially. Some of them, their businesses closed, and the officer was dismissed from the military without his retirement after 19 years of service in the Air Force. You served in the military as well.
Yes, I was actually in the United States Air Force.
So his name is Sergeant Phil Monk, and a wonderful Christian man. And all he did, he said, I fought for my country in Iraq. I came back, and 2 years later, I was told, because I believe that a marriage is between a man and a woman, that I was being discriminatory, and he was disciplined, and he lost his retirement. It was discharged. This is an outrage. You've got the fire chief of Atlanta, an African-American who grew up in a home with six children by a single mom, and he talked about, I know the promises of this country, and if you want to become something, there's opportunity here. But he said, I'm stunned by what has happened, how I lost my job, because I believe in the traditional view of man and woman in marriage. And then there's, of course, the baker, Melissa's Cakes. You're familiar with that case out there in Oregon.
Oh, absolutely.
And this wonderful Christian couple lost their bakery, and they had death threats lobbied against them, and their children were intimidated. Folks, this is happening in real time in the last few years. Let's go to that audio clip right now.
When you have your own government tell you that you don't have religious freedom, now that is very disheartening.
If I don't have the first freedom, my religious freedom, then what's left?
I just did not anticipate that my career would end under such terms.
No way would I have ever thought I would be in this position. I definitely understand freedom in a different way.
I believe that the freedoms and liberties in the United States of America in my life have proven that a poor kid from an at-risk family, a single mom with six children on welfare and food stamps living in poverty, with those freedoms can cause their dreams to come true.
And I was fighting for the United States of America, for the freedoms that we enjoy. To come home later, 2 years later, and to be told that because I hold a religious belief, that's some sort of discrimination.
At the darkest hour, our church showed up, and you know, the family rallied around us, prayed for us, and that was a big thing for us.
You really get to see the fullness of God when you stand up for His truth, His word.
I suppose God's surprised me the most by His faithfulness and His promises. You know, you read those and you sort of say, yeah, right, but when it comes right down to it, his promises and what He says is true.
I've already had my worst day. You know what I mean? And so, what's a retirement?
Our kids have seen that there's a real cost to serving the Lord. Why would I, as a business owner, want to bring this on my company? If anything, I would want to stay as far away from that as possible.
The very faith that caused me to get my job ultimately has cost me my job.
I definitely understand freedom in a different way. Yeah, before it was just sort of off here in another world. But when it happens to you, and it will happen to you, when they come to take that away, it takes on a whole new meaning.
It So I had to relent to being fired in order to not violate my conscience, not violate a tenet of my deeply held religious belief. And I have no recourse. I'm just praying over and over again as I'm working that God would see this through.
Losing the business was very hard for me. I worked really hard to build it up. I put a lot into it. And for that, to be honest, you know, I'm not gonna lie, very hard.
Our definition of freedom in the United States of America is changing right before our eyes. I believe that those very freedoms are at risk in our beloved United States of America today.
Before all this went on, I felt like there was freedom, that we had all kinds of freedom. And going through this now, I definitely am seeing just a whole different world and feeling like definitely freedom, especially religious freedom, is really, you know, at stake.
Christ stood up for me. Do I think so much less of him that I wouldn't stand up for him?
And that is testimony of five different individuals who suffered persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Pastor, we are living in a different day where the world is turned upside down and on its head. When that which is right and that which is righteous is deemed evil, and evil is deemed good. And the Bible talks about that. Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil.
That's right. And we're seeing that happen before our very eyes.
That's right. And, you know, it's just such a, that was such a compelling video, and we're going to have that up on our website for people to view. And tomorrow night, of course, when you're hearing this broadcast, we'll be in progress. But we're having Governor Brownback in from Kansas, a strong Christian leader who has done a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. He's done a Pastor's Protection Act in the state of Kansas. He has defended religious liberty in his state. We don't have any of that here in Ohio.
Well, we'd like to think that we do, and we have a certain, I think, almost appearance of it. But like you said, and you pointed out in that video, it's fast dissipating. It's going away. And if we don't take a stand, it's going to be gone.
Mm. Well, that's right. And so, you know, after the SCOTUS decision by the Supreme Court last year on homosexual marriage, constitutional attorneys urged states to quickly move to enact statute legislation to protect religious liberty. And what we're talking about tonight, if you just tuned in, I'm with here with Pastor Al Davis. I'm Chris Long, your host, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And a little bit, we're going to be joined by Dr. Tim Throckmorton, a pastor from Southern Ohio, and also Pastor Mark Abel, who all were at the State House last week. And we're going to talk about our impressions of meeting with our legislators, discussing the very fundamental freedom of religion. You know, in our press release last week, Pastor, we put out in the third paragraph, if you'll read that for us.
All right, here in the bill?
No, actually, I'm sorry, in the press release.
Okay, this one over here.
In the third paragraph. Go ahead and read that.
All right, it says, there are those who argue that HB 286, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, is not needed, that we have Article 1, Section 7 of the Ohio Constitution and the First Amendment of the United States Constitution that guarantee religious liberty. The Ohio Constitution and the Bill of Rights clearly declare the protections of religious liberty, but there comes a time in each generation when these liberties are challenged. The Ohio Pastor Protection Act, House Bill 286, is statute law that will speak to the current generation that religious liberty trumps all liberties. It is, of course, the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Jefferson once stated, no provision in our Constitution ought to be dearer to man than that which protects the rights of conscience against the enterprises of the civil authority.
That's right. And, of course, he boasted about his role and involvement with the Religious Statute of Virginia In their legislature. So not only was he author of the Declaration of Independence, our third president, founder of the University of Virginia, he touted, again, written on his tombstone at Monticello, where he's buried, that he was the author also of the religious statute of the state of Virginia. So that's why this is all important. Now, also continuing with the press release, and I'll have you read from the bill's language itself and here in a minute, but we go on to say, religious liberty does not begin or end with the U.S. Constitution's acknowledgement of such liberty. Religious liberty predates the Constitution and the Magna Carta and goes all the way back to the creation as a fundamental right of man. With these threats to religious liberty, the time has now come to enact statute legislation in Ohio to address these new challenges and underscore the constitutional rights of religious freedom and practice thereof. No individual should be coerced against their religious conscience. No religious society should be forced by the state or a municipality to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs. It is for that reason that we urge the passage of the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, House Bill 286. Now, Pastor, this is a very simple bill, well-written, and it simply does this. It protects pastors, churches, church property, and religious institutions from threat of lawsuit. If two homosexual men said, well, we want to get married in this church, the pastor says, we don't do that. You know, they can love those people, they can minister to those people, but they're saying, we don't recognize that. Marriage is between a man and a woman as God designed, and that's what our church teaches. Now, if these two men sued the church, this statute legislation would give them some protection under Ohio law, but it doesn't exist yet because it hasn't passed. Go ahead and read the bill's language, sir.
All right. The bill says the following persons or entities may join together as husband and wife. Any persons are not prohibited by law from being joined in marriage. It says in the section here, an ordained or licensed minister of any religious society or congregation within this state who is licensed to solemnize marriages. A judge of a county court in accordance with section 1907.18 of the revised code, a judge of a municipal court in accordance with section 1901.14 of the revised code, a probate judge in accordance with section 2101.27 of the revised code, the mayor of a municipal corporation in any county in which the mayor's municipal corporation wholly or partially lies, the superintendent of a state school for the deaf, any religious society in conformity with the rules of its church. It also says no ordained or licensed minister described in Division A1 of this section of or religious society described in Division A7 of this section is required to solemnize a marriage that does not conform to the ordained or licensed minister's or religious society's sincerely held religious beliefs. No religious society is required to allow any building or property of the religious society to be used to host a marriage ceremony for a marriage that does not conform to the religious society's sincerely held religious beliefs. If an ordained or licensed minister described in Division A1 of this section or a religious society described in Division A7 of this section refuses to solemnize a marriage or refuses to allow any building or property of the religious society to be used to host a marriage ceremony because of the ordained or licensed minister's or religious society's sincerely held religious beliefs, the ordained or licensed minister or religious society is immune from civil or criminal liability, and neither the state nor a political subdivision of the state shall penalize or withhold any benefit or privilege from the ordained or licensed minister or religious society, including any governmental contract, grant, or license.
Well, that's right. And the Liberty Council, a constitutional team that has offices in Florida, Washington, and Virginia, they do work all across the country. In fact, they defended Kim Davis down there, the local county clerk who refused to issue a homosexual couple a marriage license simply because when she got her job, that was not part of the description, and she wasn't going to comply. And a federal judge, of course, threw her in jail in contempt of court, but a firestorm ensued, and of course, he really looked like an ignoramus by doing that, but it just lit a nationwide attention to this little lady, church gal, that was being thrown in jail. But they wrote this. In summary, HB 286, the Ohio Pastors Protection Act, specifies that no ordained or licensed minister and no religious society is required to solemnize a marriage or allow property to be used to host a marriage ceremony if the marriage does not conform to the minister or society's sincerely held religious beliefs. So the Liberty Council has weighed in on this. They made this letter available, and I'm just reading it in brief, but they made this letter of acknowledgement and support of House Bill 286 in the language that was presented. They're not the legal group who wrote the language, but they're concurring and saying this is good constitutional language and statute language and encourage the legislature to move forward. Now, let's then talk about what happened last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, of course, we had 50 members of the clergy that quickly, in just a few days' time, changed their schedules to join us to meet at the State House. We had a press conference, and then we fanned out and met with legislators. Pastor Al, tell us about some of your experiences of meeting with the legislators.
Well, I thought it was very interesting because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we only see legislators when they're campaigning to get their office, and not too many people actually see them, if I might say, in their native habitat, I guess, you know, in their offices, in the places where they carry out the work that we elect them to do in the State House. And so going in, first off, you have to be able to find them. And that's one of the things that impressed me is that we were going through the office building there where the state representatives' offices were at, how you were able to pick out the representatives out of the corner of your eye, because I caught on that they all wear a particular button on their lapel. And you would catch them going out. I remember one individual, he was just going into the door back into the area that you have to have somebody let you back in. And you stopped him, and you were able to give him a quick rundown on the bill, and he seemed very favorable towards that.
Yes, that's right. That was State Representative Fred Barnes, a Democrat, actually.
Right.
He's a good friend of State Representative Bill Patman up here in Cleveland. Fine Christian man, also a Democrat from inner city Cleveland, who actually is a co-sponsor of this bill, Pastor. Mm-hmm. So it's had bipartisan support. And we were asking Fred Barnes if he would support the bill, and was hoping that he would. So he said, look, I'm with you in principle. I'll take a look at the details.
Right.
So I thought that was fair.
Yes.
On his behalf. So he very well may end up being with us. The other issue is we met with State Representative Marilyn Slaby. I think that's your representative.
Right. She's our district.
Yep.
And I voted for her myself in the past. It was nice to get to meet her. And I think she graciously gave us a generous amount of time.
Mm.
What was there, about six or seven of us, I think, that squeezed into her office?
Yes.
And they brought in chairs for everybody. She asked questions. She was, I think, started the the meeting, seeming, you know, in principle she was with us.
Yes.
But I think by the end of the meeting, she seemed a little more solidly to understand what we were saying and why we were there, and
yes,
a little more supportive.
Yeah. Yeah. She's definitely a yes vote at this point. In fact, I got word today. In fact, I think by us meeting with her, I think very much impressed her, and then hearing from constituents from her district. And that's what was so important about this, is meeting with those representatives that represent us and that we live in their district. So that I think weighs heavy on their mind, of course. They want to represent their district well and the people of their district. So you and your wife, Kim, coming in was important to her. And Marilyn's a great gal, and her husband, of course, the Slabys, we've known them for years. Former Representative Slaby, Mr. Slaby, was actually a former county prosecutor in Akron. And back in the day, there was a swingers group wanting to rent out the Holiday Inn downtown and bring all that business to downtown. And he said, no way, that's not what we're about. And he put a stop to that. So he understood decency back in the day and took a stand, which is, you know, he's a good man. So we were, you know, I just think it was a great rapport with her. And then, you know, the combined teams were able to meet with upwards of 30 state representatives. I think we met with at least five or six ourselves, either in their office or out in the hallway. So that was very effective in just a few hours' time, especially since we didn't have the time to schedule meetings ahead of time. And I agree with you. They made commendation for us to meet with us, and I thought that was great.
Absolutely. And I was going to mention, you mentioned my wife, Kim Davis, being with us. Not the same Kim Davis in Kentucky, although she is from Kentucky.
Oh, that's right. You know, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's true. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side with Pastor Mark Abel will join us and Pastor Tim Throckmorton. And we're going to have a roundtable discussion on this. You're listening to News in Focus. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This program is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Religious liberty is under assault. Pastors and churches are being sued. Bibles are being removed from military installations, and religious symbols are being stripped from the public square. The Ohio Christian Alliance defends religious liberties and our First Amendment rights. This year's Freedom Banquet speaker is Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, who has protected religious liberty in his state.
Religious liberty is at the heart of who we are as an American people. This right is the right that the founders came over in search of when they started this country. It is a right that is protected today.
Speakers include State Treasurer Josh Mandel, State Auditor Dave Yost, and other special guests. Help defend religious liberty and register for this year's Ohio Christian Alliance Spring Freedom Banquet with Governor Sam Brownback, one of America's most conservative governors, on Thursday, May 19th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton. To register, log on to ohioca.org or phone 330-887-1922. That's 330-887-1922.
Okay, and we're back, and with us live in studio is Pastor Al Davis, who has his own radio program here on the Salem Network of Cleveland. And joining us on the phone from Ashland, Ohio, is Pastor Mark Abel and also Pastor Tim Throckmorton, both of which were at the Pastor's Lobby Day last Wednesday at the Ohio State House, advocating for religious liberty and urging the passage of the Pastor's Protection Act, House Bill 286. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much, Chris.
And thanks again.
Well, Pastor Throckmorton, we had a press conference, and then we fanned out and met with legislators. A lot has happened since that time. State Representative Nino Vitale, the sponsor of this bill, of course, has been working behind the scenes to try to get legislators to sign on. And, you know, from our, you've been coming down the State House for a while as well. I thought we had a great day. I thought it was, you know, I was just talking with Pastor Al Davis here that we had good rapport with the legislators. Tell us about what response your team had when you went to meet with representatives.
Well, as I mentioned, Chris, we had my group, 26 people, and most of them moms and children, which was fabulous. Another pastor and I shepherded them along, and it was incredible. The responses from the legislators and their offices, they were very kind and accommodating. I mean, it's not just two or three of us waiting to meet them. It's a conference room full.
Right.
And but there was such a statement, even in the press conferences, you know, we looked at those families over there. This is about them. This is about their future as well.
Amen.
And one of the moms in one of the meetings, which was very, very good, by the way, we never met the legislators, but they were as accommodating as they could be, and their aides were very attentive to us and took good notes. But one of the moms, that she said something that I really hadn't considered. She said, look, this is about our pastors that we love and care for. They don't need to worry about this. They need to be about the business of caring for their flock, ministering to us. This is taking them away. They should never have to think about this. And it was coming from them, the mothers, to those aides. It was an incredible dynamic. I think communicated well just what we're dealing with. And you think about the things that are topics on your show or any show for that matter that we've never talked about up until this point in history. That we're about the business of leading people to Christ, of changing the world. This is about eternities, about souls, about influencing our community for Christ. And now our focus is on things that we never thought we would have to deal with. And so it was a great day. Thank you for your part and for Representative Talley's passion for making this an issue. He really set the tone and set the bar high by bringing this to the forefront. And it's trying to be looked at as something that's not necessary or hey, but no, we know better.
Yeah.
And every business leader, bakers, pizza makers, and florists around the country thought they were protected as well. And here we sit with this great legislation, and all we need to do is push it out of committee, get it into the House, and then we can have more conversation about this.
That's right. In reading from the Liberty Council letter in support of this legislation, it said, while ministers, churches, and religious societies already have a constitutional right to perform or host only those marriage ceremonies to conform to their religious beliefs and to limit the use of their properties consistent with religious beliefs, House Bill 286 is still necessary because homosexual activists seek to force pastors and churches to perform ceremonies between same-sex couples despite the First Amendment. Nationwide, local municipalities' non-discrimination ordinances increasingly attempt to limit pastors and churches in the free exercise of religion, purporting to bind churches in the employment decisions, and purporting to classify churches as public accommodations for purposes of bathroom or locker access by cross-dressing males or for purposes of facilities for use for homosexual weddings or receptions. Now, this is a group that is dealing with this across the country where we may only have the perspective of Ohio. They're dealing with this all across the country. And, of course, the famed ordinance down there in Houston where the local lesbian mayor of Houston, Texas, she wanted the transcripts of the sermons of pastors when there was an ordinance that was being put forth to the people or for as far as a bill that was going to be voted on. And she wanted their transcripts of their sermons. That is so ridiculous. Pastor Mark, tell us your experience, the group that you went to and met with legislators. What was your response?
Well, I mean, it was the first time for me to do anything like this, and so it was very much of a learning experience. I was also taken back by their kindness and their willingness to meet with us and how they listened. It wasn't that we went in and you know, we were talked to. We were able to speak our concerns, and I felt that they listened. So, I think you said it best, Chris. You know, we can write the letters and we can make the phone calls, and those are very important. And I had that reinforced to me when I was down there. But you said there's no better thing to do than to actually be down there and talk to these people face to face and share our concerns and things that we are facing. And so it was definitely a very positive experience, but very much a learning experience. And I was so impressed by Representative Vitale and just, you know, his boldness and his passion for this. He's doing what he needs to do, and you know, I just can't thank him enough.
Well, that's right, and it's so important to have a legislator that has a passion for the bill that is representing the interests of the people, and he understands it. He gets it that religious liberty is under assault, Pastor Al, like never before in our country. You served our country in the military. You fought for those liberties and for those principles of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. This has to be upsetting to you, especially.
Oh, absolutely, because and not just myself, but all those that served before I ever did, and those that are serving right now. I mean, and then to even have, the idea that the very things that we serve for, the very liberties that we protect in this country and that we cherish, and as pastors, the very liberties that we, you know, that we use to be able to proclaim the gospel, to carry out the work that the Lord has given us to do, and to see those under threat by really what amounts to, you know, the forces of the devil, the Antichrist, spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says it's working in the world already, trying to silence pastors as a source of not only good in terms of the work that we perform and the word of God that we try to reach out to the world with, but also all Christians who are supposed to be salt and light in the world around us. And things like this, it's taken away our ability to do that. It's like looking at the old Soviet Union some places, with the way things are going today.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I spoke at a church a couple of years ago out in Western Ohio, and two older gentlemen came up to me after the service, and I was talking about what we were doing with getting the Founding of American Documents curriculum passed in Ohio schools, and, you know, some of the other things we're doing, FDR's D-Day landing prayer being added to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., and they came up, and one gentleman, he was so tall, and here he had served in the 82nd Airborne in World War II. He landed into Normandy. He parachuted in, talked about how a German 88 had landed near his company, and they were standing in a circle, and all those men were killed, and he was wounded severely. But he talked about his experience, and next to him, also in the same church, and a dear friend of his, was a man who was a Hitler youth on the other side, and he was too young to serve, but he was in the Hitler Youth, and both of them talked passionately about America and the principles, because, you know, this young German man, he came to America, of course, and he said, when I first came to this country, you didn't have to lock the doors of your car or any of these kinds of things. He said, but what I see now is what I saw in Germany back then, and that is so sobering to hear that. And we're losing our freedoms, ladies and gentlemen, and tonight we're talking about religious liberty, and it's up to you and I to defend. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. You know, if we enjoy these freedoms, we must defend them. And so now it's next man up, Pastor Al, Pastor Tim, Pastor Mark. It's our turn to defend, and that's what we did down at the State House last Wednesday, and we had 50, and on moment's notice, there would have been far more, I know, and I've talked to pastors all around the state, and maybe when they hear what we have to report tonight, they just might want to rally down there, because they're not going to like to hear what we're going to report, because State Representative Nina Vitelli was not treated very kindly by leadership after Wednesday. Pastor Throckmorton, you've been coming to the State House for a long time. You've been involved in these kinds of issues. There's a process, and I think our folks were very appropriate, don't you, in meeting with the legislators?
Absolutely. We've always been, I think, that way. It's an amazing moment God's entrusted to us, Chris, and I think of it as, you know, an issue of stewardship. We've been not only handed the freedoms by those who have served, and now, thank you for your service and so many others. Memorial Day weekend's coming up. We're focusing on those moments of giving thanks for those who have given their lives for our freedom.
Amen.
And now we are stewards of an incredible moment in history. And so we need to be not only informed, but we need to be involved. And of course, people of Christian character are going to carry themselves with great respect and great honor, and honor others. But I must say, in the Dispatch article the next day, Chris, and I don't know whether you've alluded to this yet or not, to hear the speaker say something about the, you know, pastors, hey, we don't need this. You already have your protections. Again, this is not the sense that every pastor in Ohio and America is feeling right now.
Right.
And so we know there is a season of religious freedom being challenged and being threatened, and you don't have to look far to see that. Anybody can see that. And so I was very disappointed when I heard that. And of course I was really disappointed in the response that you mentioned that Representative Vitale got for a simple bill. This wasn't a far-reaching piece of legislation. This is a simple piece of law that says pastors need protected. This is how you do it, and this is simply what it's for. And again, it's not reaching into anyone else's freedom. It's simply protecting our freedom that we were handed, lovingly handed.
Mm. Well, that's right. And, you know, the speaker did meet with Representative Vitale. When we were heading down to the State House, we got some calls that there was a blow up in caucus. And caucus is kind of like the family huddle for either the Democrats or Republicans. And that's fine. That's their own business. But, you know, a couple of friends that I have that are in the legislature, they just let me know and say, hey, things kind of blew up last night, because calls, a large amount of calls, were going into districts. Well, that's what we want people to do. We want them to call and speak with their legislators, always politely, and always with the spirit of you know, Christianity and decency and civility. And our folks do that. They made calls. These folks just didn't like that they got a lot of calls because they don't want to vote with us on this bill, Pastor Al and Pastor Tim, Mark. You know, it's just they just weren't happy about that. Well, Representative Vitale wasn't in caucus, I'm told. He has a business, of course. You don't have to go to caucus. I mean, you have to be there for your committee hearings and your session, but he was elsewhere. So anyways, these folks weren't all too happy about all these calls that came in. So the speaker sat down with Representative Vitale on Friday, and it really is kind of disheartening to hear what transpired. I thought normally when that happens, Pastor Throckmorton, you know, it's a coming together of the minds. So say, okay, how can we work on this bill together? There's some folks over here that want this. You want this. How can we bring the interested parties together? You would have figured that that's what they would have said, right?
Mm-hmm. You would, absolutely. And not only is this a important bill for this moment, with everything that's happening, this climate the threatening of religious freedom, this is a serious issue. And so I'm a little taken back that you know, that everyone's not kind of pulling in the same direction here, because everybody in every church in this state, and every state for that matter, cares deeply. This isn't just about the pastors. We represent a host of people.
That's right.
Who vote, and we it's an incredible number that cares deeply about this issue. And so this isn't just a few here and a few there. There's a wide swath of American citizens who go to church who are very concerned. And yes, I was a little disheartened very disheartened by that, a little taken back that this wasn't a no-brainer for the whole legislature moving forward.
Well, that's right. And I'm going to report, and it might be news to some of you men, and it may not be, and we've kind of kept this under wraps. The speaker met with Representative Vitale, and I'm just going to give, just as they said, just the facts. And here are the facts as they stand. Representative Vitale was disciplined by the speaker, and he was told that he would take away his aide, and which he has done. As of Friday, his aide in his office was taken away, and no replacement, so he has no help in his office. He was also told that he would be restricted. He could not use House communications and House resources, and Representative Vitale says, well, what does that entail? He said, that also includes legal. So he told me that on Friday, and you know, Pastor Throckmorton, you know, the old Irish-Italian blood just started to rise right away when I heard that, okay? So yeah. I calmed down a little bit, and, I composed myself, and he says, you know, and then he wants me to apologize to some members. He said, which I'm willing to do if there were hurt feelings, but not apologize for the principle of the thing. Well, there was robocalls that went into some of their districts, and he did do the voiceover. But I heard the voiceover. I heard the recording. And actually, it might be a little outside of protocol, but I talked to several former state representatives. They said, there's nothing wrong with that. And it was very appropriate and said, if you support the Pastors Protection Act, let your member know, your representative know, and by pushing 5 now, or it's one of those things where you get directly connected to talk to your representative. So it's very helpful. And Representative Vitale suggested, he said, well, I'll do the voiceover. And this other group paid for it. And that there was nothing wrong with that. It just it generated 1,400 calls. That might have got them all upset. But the point is that they heard from the folks. There's no reason to be disciplined for that. I mean, first of all, disciplining a former member, is there's some issues with that. But let's talk about that for a minute. So as it stands as of today, he still does not have an aide in his office. There are 14 bills on the floor. He has, and then when he tried to call down for communications and legal, they told him that he is not to have access according to the wish of the speaker. Now, there's some issues with this. There's some real problems. And folks, we feel like we're being disciplined because we were down there with him standing head-to-head, toe-to-toe with Representative Vitale, who, by the way, has been exemplary in representing the church's interest and Christians' interest at the State House. To be treated like this, Pastor Al, Pastor Tim, Mark, is just, it just puts you out. And you're just like, what in the world is going on? Pastor Mark, your thoughts.
Well, it's angering beyond words because he did what he's supposed to do. And that's, I think you see that sentiment in our country. And, you know, as you look at the elections at a whole, is people are fed up with this, political game playing, and for the speaker to pull this move when Representative Vitale did his job is sickening. You know, I have some of my opinions on what I think should happen. You know, because of what he did, but I'll keep those to myself. But,
yeah,
you know, no, he did his job, and now he's getting reprimanded for it. And in response to the, you know, the comment that we don't need this bill, you know, it's been said, if you see an approaching army coming, do you want just one line of defense? No, you're going to put up as many lines of defense as you possibly can. And that's what Representative Vitale's doing. He's recognizing the culture in which we live. He's recognizing that our freedoms are being taken. And what this bill is doing is adding those layers of defense. And, you know, it's a simple argument to explain as to why we need this. And, you know, I'm sickened by what I see in the political games that are playing in this. It's a good, solid bill. Representative Vitale in the press conference said this is something we all can agree on. So, you know, it's mind-boggling as to why the argument.
Well, well said, Pastor Mark. I agree with you. It doesn't make any sense as to what the speaker's actions were to State Representative Vitale. And I understand that he did offer an apology for hurt feelings to some of the other members. But again, I don't think he did anything wrong. And in fact, from what I'm told, is the rest of the members rallied around him and really loved on him, actually, and supported him. And he says, I'm not so sure the speaker was happy about that. But it just it just begs the question, what in the world is going on here? Pastor Throckmort, what's your thoughts?
Well, your line there, Chris, you said you felt like you were being disciplined, too.
Yes,
and so I'm hearing this for the first time from you. That is never a feeling a citizen should have from their government. Yeah. I mean I feel that it feels wrong. It feels absolutely diametrically opposed to all I think our founders would have ever wanted a citizen to feel. And so what are we to do? What are we to do if we? If we see a concern like this, are we to be persuaded not to be involved? Are we to be, okay, you better watch. You can push, but you can't push so far.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, we're gonna stand up and slap you down and tell you to be still. I don't think that's the dynamic of this country or the intent of our founders for this country. And Representative Vitale has been a gentleman.
Yes.
I've never sensed anything other than complete respect for the leadership, the system of government, the protocol of the House. I don't, you know, there's just something that doesn't pass the test here in my mind as being right and wholesome. So I've regardless, you know, I'm pressing forward as you are as well. This is a good bill. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to speak up for. And if we do nothing, Chris, if we do nothing, if we back off,
right,
our children, our grandchildren, those who follow us, pastors who follow us, are going to reap the benefits of our activity or our inactivity, whichever the case may be.
Hmm. Well, that's exactly right, Pastor. And, you know, we're going to have an opportunity here in the next 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, to call your representative, urge them to support the Pastors Protection Act. Believe me, that's all you have to say. They all know what that bill is now down there, Pastor Al, Pastor right. Tim. Yeah. They all know. So believe me, it's heavily on their minds. They know what we want. And they know that we want it now. And, it's like I shared with some of the representatives. Look, I'm a patient man. It took me 10 years to get the Founding of American Documents curriculum through the Ohio legislature. But I said, we don't have time. Time's not on our side. There's legal exposure here in the opinions of constitutional attorneys for churches, pastors, church property. And pastors, that's why we're so adamant that the legislature move and respond to the people's wishes here. And again, we're talking about, like one friend said, it's the First Amendment. It's, it's the very first, and it's the freedom of speech. Well, again, folks, thanks for tuning in again today. If you've missed any of this broadcast, you want to listen to its entirety on our website at ohioca.org. Again, Defending Religious Liberty. Pastor Tim Throckmorton, Pastor Mark Abel, Pastor Al Davis, thank you so much for being my guest today, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, it's a real privilege to represent you and the church at the Ohio State House and also in Washington, D.C., and we do it prayerfully and humbly and respectfully, and I just thank you for the honor to be able to be the president of this organization, and thank you all for just what you're doing. And so we're going to stay after this, folks, and again, to learn more, go to our website at ohioca.org. God bless and good night.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.